Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I hope the fog wasn't too bad for you this morning. I tell you something, this the weather's starting to come in. Here we go. I see the farmers have started to harvest their grains out there, and the fog's starting to kick up. The leaves are starting to fall. Ooh, I love this time of year. So much going on. I'm so happy that you're all here with us here today. I got a call from Quentin's mom. Quentin is a young man that we had the pleasure of speaking into his life for about a year or so before he headed off into the Army. Yeah, Quentin's mom called me last Tuesday asking for prayer for him, and I put it out on the Facebook chat page, so if you got that, you probably know about it already. But he's in basic training, and he missed his first PT test, and so he's going for the second one, so she hoped that maybe we can all lift him up in prayer, so we will continue to do so. And we have a picture of the military that's connected to this church out on the bulletin board. Every now and then, take a look at that and lift up a well-wish prayer for Quentin. But I remember in military, it's very interesting. When you leave that first time, you can see a lot of people, they get homesick, you know. And I remember my brother, when he was in the Army, this is after I did, so he kind of had the one-up on some of the other people about what it was about. But my mom was losing her second child to the military. And he didn't want my mom to miss him. So he came up with an ingenious idea to keep mom from getting sick of missing him. So he rigged up a little red LED light. And this is back in 1982, mind you. A little LED LED light. And he got six of those big C batteries. D batteries. And he rigged them together with some electrical tape. And then he got my mom's old-fashioned ice cream maker from off the top shelf of her cabinets. And he drilled a little hole in it, and he put that little LED light through that hole. And every few minutes, that LED light would just flash a little red light. And so for 3 years, as my brother was gone, he went to the basic training, AIT, and then he was shipped off to Germany. And for 3 years, all the time he was gone, every few minutes, mom would look up at that little ice cream maker and see that little light just glowing. And that was just brought to her so much peace. It lasted so much longer than even he would have guessed. And it was truly a blessing to my mom. Well, in this today, we're going to talk a little bit about God's light. God's light. And how, like my brother's situation, you know, God wants his light to give us comfort too. Now, last week we learned in Scripture where Jesus was put on the spot. His own family was calling him crazy now, and the religious authorities said that he was possessed by the devil. I got to believe that was hard on Jesus' situation, no doubt. But then Jesus introduced in that a parable to explain his actions about saving people releasing people from demons. He said, "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against himself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided itself, that house cannot stand." Jesus was so wise in his use of words and his use of dialogue and specifically parables. He used parables throughout his ministry. We are going to talk today about this thing called now parables and hopefully learn why Jesus used parables so much in his ministry. So please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 10. In the Pew Bibles, it's on page 890 of God's inspired and is infallible and is living word. But as we always do, let us open this up with prayer. Father God, we ask you to just watch after us here today. Lord, give me your words, give me your spirit, so that this is not just running through a dialogue, Lord, that it's actually making a difference. We're spreading your word and your will upon the people so that they might consider. Father God, I love you, and we thank you for being with us here today. And it's in your precious name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen, amen. So I will remind you again that we're in the Gospel book of Mark. Jesus talks, and his life is depicted in all of the Gospels, including Matthew, Luke, and John. Jesus' biography, or if you will, his life and ministry is written about in these four books. If you ever want to think about where to get starting in reading the Bible and making it your own, that any one of these four Gospels is a wonderful place to start. At this point in our reading, though, Jesus had presented himself as being the Savior that the Jewish folk there in Israel had been waiting for. And he wasn't just telling them, he was now showing them his deity, the fact that he was God in flesh by healing people, doing some wonderful, miraculous things and expelling demons before their eyes. Again, Jesus had used in the last verses that we read last week, this thing called a parable. And that is the subject of today's message. And this message today is called Parables Explained. Parables Explained. You know, today there's a lot. I go down to the coffee shop there at Panera, and I hear all these old codgers coming there with me. We drink a cup of coffee. And man, I tell you what, those old codgers have some stories. I tell you, anything in life you come up to, and that's why I love hanging around these folks. They have so much wisdom, especially these farmers. My goodness, you come up with any situation and they got some analogy or some story that goes along with that situation that you're struggling with. Well, those stories are effectively like these parables that Jesus is telling. They're made to impart wisdom or to elevate some idea that he's trying to bring forth. Verse 10 of Mark 4 then starts off. It says, "When he was alone, Jesus, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. He answered them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but those outside, everything comes in parables, so that they may indeed look and yet not perceive. They may indeed listen and yet not understand. Otherwise, they might turn back and be forgiven.'" Well, now, on the outside, it sounds a little bit strange. Why would Jesus not want people to understand? Well, in your Bibles, you may find that there's this little note, though, attached to that last quote there that Jesus gave. Because basically, that last two sentences are a quote that Jesus used. That note there is pointing us back to Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah is from a prophet from the Old Testament. Jesus is quoting the prophet Isaiah when he says this, which is it's written about a thousand years before he was even born. And it foretells what the Savior or the Messiah will speak about, what he looks like, how he acts and things of that nature, this and his purpose. Therefore, Jesus, by speaking now this parable, is satisfying Isaiah's prophet as to what the Messiah's character will be like. That is a great example for us even here today. We all should be speaking God's word. We all should be understanding God's word, using God's word in our day-to-day going about. And I'm not suggesting that you speak in parables like Jesus did all the time here, but we should be quoting Scripture. And the only way that you will be able to quote Scripture is if you know Scripture. And the only way that you will know Scripture is you spend time and read it. It's that important. Jesus not only told us, but he demonstrated that using Scripture is a good way to go for us as Christians. As it is now translated, though, the prophet Isaiah effectively said back in his book, "Go and tell the people. Be ever hearing but never understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of the people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." So Jesus was quoting Isaiah, paraphrasing what Isaiah presented a thousand years earlier. Jesus is telling effectively and to us here today by quoting Isaiah the prophet that he is that person that Isaiah was speaking of. That person should speak in a strange way, Isaiah was saying, and he was speaking now in that strange way. Interesting to know that the verse in Isaiah right before that quote, though, verse 8 says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Who shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" So that's what Isaiah again wrote before he wrote that other piece that Jesus quoted. Jesus is the person saying, "Here I am. I'm here before you. Send me." And with that, we can know that he surely is the man Jesus is, Isaiah is speaking of. He truly is the great I Am now, God in the flesh. The Jewish people back then memorized and recited and sang Isaiah's prophecy. It's so good for us to consider doing it. Any way you can do it, get God's word in your heart. I know that during VBS time, I love hearing those kids come in here and reciting scripture and memorizing scripture and actually getting candy or something when they're successful in that regard. We all should be endeavoring to memorize scripture. That back then, though, that's what they did for fun. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have, you know, TVs and internet and things of that nature. They memorized scripture, both in word and in song, so that they can enjoy it and share it with one another. They made songs of things like Isaiah's sayings. Most every good Jew here knew of Isaiah's prophecy. So when Jesus used this quote now, immediately I would argue that they knew that he was professing again that he was that prophet. In fact, he was claiming to be that God in the flesh. I would bet the Pharisees, the religious ones, the ones that looked like they was the part, speaking like they was the part, but their heart was calloused and cold. I bet you those Pharisees at this point, though, were fuming. They already said in previous verses that they were contemplating to murder Jesus, and this, I'm sure, got them added even more fuel to the fire. At this point, Jesus, the teacher, who had previously given a parable to the crowd, now he pulled his 12 aside, and he was giving them now a personal lesson. How would you like to be in the audience of a teacher like the Messiah, Jesus Christ, God? Wouldn't that just be awesome? I would love to hear what he had to say in person. Mind you, we have his word written down, but wouldn't it be just amazing to have a teacher with such... I've had, like you probably, good teachers and bad teachers. Some teachers changed my life, amen? Some learned that they were horrible at the same time. But how would you like to have Jesus Christ himself as your teacher? I think that would just be awesome. Jesus told them in verse 11 here, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you." Wow. How would you like to have those lesson notes that day? But of course we do, right? We call it the Bible. Praise the Lord. Back in Mark 4, jumping a few verses ahead now, Jesus is teaching them about these parables things. What you're going to find is as I take a couple different verses from that whole chapter of 4, everywhere that Jesus talked about the purpose of the parables, and I'm putting it together in one message for you here today. Verse 21 of Mark 4, Jesus continues. It says, "He also said to them, 'Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed? Isn't it to be put on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed, and nothing concealed that will not be brought to light. If anyone has ears, let them hear. Let them listen.'" Well, last I checked, I think I see everybody here has ears, so that's a good thing. Again, this is a parable about parables. Jesus is answering the question and teaching them and us today that he chooses to teach in parables. Parables can be challenging sometimes to figure out, though. I'll be the first to admit. But God's word is intended, though, to confound the unbeliever. And I will say even confound those who are wise in Christ until they are prepared to receive it. But for those that seek, it says, him and call after the Lord, he reveals his heart and purpose, his light in these parables. And when God opens our minds to his word, he doesn't intend then for us to just keep it to ourselves. The lamp here in this parable is God's word. Its meaning was first hidden from the apostles and for us too, I would argue, until we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And since the Holy Spirit Counselor is now gifted us as believers, we have the ability through him, through his Holy Spirit, to better understand now God's word. God gave us the holy word so that we might have confidence in him and therefore strengthen our faith. He desires for us now to be digging deep into his word. And by doing so, other scriptures then will start making more sense as we continue to read the gospel. I can't tell you how many times while reading the scripture over and over again, I come to a passage and I say, "Oh, now I get it. This is connected to this, and this is connected to this, and it's about that. That's why he said this. That makes sense to me." But the first time you read it, you may not have that awareness. It takes time and practice. And Jesus did that deliberately so that you will dig and you will love his word. King David wrote in Psalm 119:104, he said, "I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Ain't that a beautiful truth? God's word is truly a light to my path, and I hope to yours too. Amen? Well, I have something to show you here as a little illustration here. See that? It's just a flashlight, right? What's special about this little flashlight is it's 600 lumens. You know what, I don't know if you know what lumens is. It's like a candlelight. 600 candlelights. If I flash it at you, you'd definitely see it. But I got these for both so I could see, but I got them for each one of my daughters also, so it can actually be a weapon or sort or piece of self-defense, if you will. It's got little notches on the back here so someone can knock them in the head maybe. But it's also yellow so they can find it easy, and it's got different modes. And if they flash this in someone's face with that 600 lumens, the attacker might be even blinded for a few seconds. That's what they say about 600 lumens. It actually takes special batteries. It's not even the AA or AAA. It's a special battery so they can get that bright. But yeah, lights can be a wonderful tool. I love lights. I got all kinds of lights throughout my house. But in my house, I counted one time how many light bulbs I keep going on an annual basis. And I got over 100 lights in my house. It just surprised me. Because each one of those like fans, you know, they have like 5 lights on them. You know, and all those little cans that are up in the ceiling, they got lights in them. And I'm constantly changing out those lights. But where would we be without the lights? I couldn't imagine how they lived, you know, back in the candle days of the pioneer times and stuff like that. But lights can be a wonderful tool indeed. But even with this, though, what good would that 600 lumens be if I got it and I stuck it in my pocket? Other than being a hand warmer, perhaps. Probably not much good at all. God wants his holy light, his Holy Spirit, and his holy word utilized in a way to benefit you and to benefit his kingdom. We are his holy children, and he desires to teach us his wisdom through his word, through his light. Welcome to God's light, little children. Let us now dig deep in his word and apply it to our lives together. Amen? Verse 24 continues. It's the next section here. It says, "And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. By the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and more will be added to you. For whoever has, more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." So I find these passages very revealing. This verse reminds me of another parable. Anybody give me a clue here? The parable of the talents. Very similar in nature, isn't it? And you'll find some of these overlaps in the other parables as we go through them as well. Yeah, whereas the wealthy master gave 3 of his people some money to take care, to caretake, to invest. And the 2 of the men took that and he invested and he brought more back, and the master was pleased and he rewarded them with even more. But one didn't do anything with his money. In fact, he buried it and he was subsequently punished for doing so. God intends for us to invest wisely all of his gifts and resources, including his word, and the wisdom of it that comes from it will be gifted to us by doing so. These verses here indicate that God rewards us. Everybody say, rewards us.
Rewards.
He rewards us who invest in his word, those who dig deep in his word, those who bathe in his word. When I was out at the college the other day doing a little evangelism for the students there, I told them that we need to marinate our souls with God's word. I love that. It's kind of a neat word. Marinate our souls. And in doing so, we will be rewarded with more wisdom. Again, it says, by the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and more will be added to you. Wisdom and understanding of God's word and God's will and person will be our word, our reward, wisdom. But it also gives us, though, a warning that if we do not cherish and use God's word, then that same wisdom will be taken away from you. And I'll be the first to attest. If I don't use it, you lose it. And that goes with everything in life, I think. But if you keep reading God's word and you keep applying his word, if you understand and memorize his word, then when you need it, it will be there. If you don't, it won't. If you want to be prepared to answer the call one day that we will all get, tell me about the hope that you have in this thing called Christian life. And then you reach for something, trying to find that good scripture verse to apply, to share, and you come up empty. Well, that's because you're not in it as much as perhaps you ought to be. Don't get me wrong. We are all supposed to live by faith. But Jesus said also, though, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Our Bible is God's holy word, and he wants us to cherish it, not once in a while, not when it's convenient, but as a Christian, we need to not let the dust gather on our Bibles. Pick them up, put them in a place that's convenient. Get into the light. He is the light. Verse 33 continues, it says, he was speaking the word to them with many parables like these, as they were able to understand. He did not speak to them without a parable. Privately, however, he explained everything to his own disciples. Again, I wish I was right there with them, because some of these parables I still struggle with today. God, I'm not prepared yet to understand the full meaning of some of these scriptures. But scholars spend years on few verses to try to fully understand them. God's word has something for all of us. And to that I praise the Lord. But what is a parable? A parable, literally speaking, is something that is cast alongside something else. A parable is a story that was cast alongside some truth in order to illustrate that truth. Jesus' parables were generally teaching aids and can be thought of as an extended analogy of inspired comparisons. A common description of a parable is that it is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that's something you can take home. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I think that's pretty cool. A parable is a story told to illustrate a truth. Jesus told many parables. In fact, at least for a time in his ministry, most of what Jesus relied upon was his storytelling parables. As some count, Jesus told 30 parables altogether, and it's listed in each one of the Gospels, some of them. But if you include the Old Testament, and particularly Proverbs, then you'll find that there are hundreds of parables for us to dig deep into. For me, I've seen as a great way of learning and remembering also God's word. I might not be able to recite every verse, but you give me a parable and I'll pretty much tell you what that parable was about, or at least the gist of that parable. It's a way for us to remember God's word and God's desires for us. I pray that you will learn to love parables and all of God's words, especially those that Jesus spoke himself, because they are truly precious indeed. Anybody got a Bible where the everywhere Jesus spoke is written in red letters? That's pretty cool. I kind of like that. It causes you to pay a little more attention, maybe. Dig a little deeper. Understand this is Jesus speaking here. And it's a beautiful thing. So what is your favorite parable? I would love to know, perhaps, maybe you will share that with me someday. I would love to know what is your favorite parable. We will be going over some of those parables as we go through this book of Mark in this coming weeks. I always enjoy preaching in parables, and I hope that you will enjoy them too. So the overall theme of this message today is about parables, but more specifically how Jesus used parables to shed his light onto the world. Jesus is the light of the world. However, just like my super flashlight has a very distinct beam, unless you are in that light, you cannot be found. I might miss you. Jesus doesn't force anyone to come into his light, though, either. But he makes the light known to us and offers his light to all. Jesus wants you, Christian, to come into his light day by day, and by doing so, more will be added unto you, this parable said. His true and blessed light brings true and blessed life. Again, I'll say it. His true and blessed light brings true and blessed life. And as his children, we should be now reflecting his light to the rest of the world. I have a slide here. Yeah, very good. It says, you are like light. This is Jesus saying, you are like light for the whole world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. Instead, it puts it on a lampstand where it gives light for everyone on the house. In the same way, your light must shine before people so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. This is the same parable, but now instead of Mark, it's written by Matthew, and it allows us to hear it from two different people's perspectives. Just like my brother's little red LED light in that ice cream maker from my mom gave her much comfort, God wants his light now that is reflected onto you to be a blessing not only for you, but for the world at large as well. Now we are going to close here. It's a short sermon, if you will. In closing, we're not going to do the Amazing Grace today. We're going to do a different song. It's a song, it's called Light of the World, and you may have heard this one, and I hope you will sing with me. My prayer, though, is that this might motivate you to step up in faith and maybe accept Jesus Christ's calling on your life. Maybe turn around and stop backsliding and start moving ahead instead. Would you like to join the church? This would be a time to do it as well. Would you all please stand and let's sing together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for being the light upon our path. We thank you, Lord, for your parables. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus coming down to this earth so that we might know you personally. And Lord, you don't leave us and you will never forsake us. And Lord, lead us to a better place. Lead us to a more, a stronger, righteous path that is in keeping with your word and your will. And Lord, let us be that reflection that we need to be so that others can know the hope and see the hope that we have in you. Lord God, we love you and we need you. And we thank you for being with us here today. It's in your precious name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Let's have